This should not be this hard. Oh my goodness. Just stop talking.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this week's episode of the No Gimmicks Podcast. I'm Brady Leonard.
I'm Josiah Hughes. I was leading music at my church this morning, and I was literally stuttering singing the words, like leading the words. I would like stutter the words and had messed up a few like lines, and I had to like wait till the next line to start singing again. So hopefully I don't do that during this podcast. I know you guys had to bear with my stuttering, but I'm going to try really hard to focus. Usually I don't stutter as much when I have alcohol, but I don't have any. So
it's also 11:30 a.m.
It's also 11:30 a.m.
So you literally pulled the reverse Ozzy Osbourne on stage at church.
It was pretty weird,
pretty unusual,
man.
Actually.
I was like trying to sing the words and they just wouldn't come out. Or I'm playing guitar and I had to wait. I was like, shoot, I'm just going to wait till it comes back around the end of the line and then start the next one.
Just a side note, I every single tour we do with the band, at least two or three times, if we're out for a month, I'll do the whole like accidentally sing the first verse twice thing.
Oh.
Do you ever do that? Just forget the second verse. Just power through by singing the first verse again, especially if I'm like working out new songs that we haven't recorded yet or something.
I've done all kinds of weird stuff like that. It's all muscle memory for me, man. When I'm performing or something like that, I have to have the muscle memory down because my brain is not there. My brain is on another universe. Like it has to be just automatic. And sometimes like the worst part is like starting a new song. I'm going to start another song. Sometimes my brain just won't tell me what the words are to start the song. Like I just need that. I need that first word. It's like, oh shoot, I can't even remember how this goes. I need some cue. So that's happened a few times. You're just like hoping somebody in the crowd sings it or something. It's like, oh, that's how it goes.
Just taking cues from your fans, you know? That's always good.
I'm pretty good at faking
it,
though.
That's the worst. Actually, usually I was going to say that's the worst, but it's not the worst. You know what is the worst?
What?
Communism. Want to talk about communism, Josiah?
Oh, no.
Oh. So our good friend, leftist Stephen Colbert, which network is he on? I want to say CBS. Is he the CBS late night comedy guy?
I don't watch TV.
Neither do I. I want to say CBS. But anyway, our good buddy Stephen Colbert came out as a full-blown communist this week. Just an unafraid, unashamed supporter of Karl Marx.
You wanted to get that Hollywood
let's
credit.
Let's play the clip. It is pretty incredible.
All right.
Last night. This is last night? Last night, Don Jr. tweeted a picture of his young daughter holding her candy bucket and said, I'm going to take half of her candy tonight and give it to some kid who sat at home. It's never too early to teach her about socialism. Yes, it's never too early to teach kids the danger of sharing. But
spaghetti.
While we're at it, Don Jr., on Halloween, kids literally go door to door to get free candy from the neighbors because the kids don't have it and the neighbors do. That's socialism. Also, give it to some kid who sat at home. You know Halloween is fun, right? No child in the history of childing has ever voluntarily missed Halloween. I'm worried that kid didn't go out. Why? Is he okay? Is that child caring for a sick parent? You know what would be a nice thing to do? Give him half your Halloween candy. But I'll say this. Don Jr. is right about one thing. There's plenty of economic theory that you can teach using sweets. We need to be talking about things like universal health care, which would be a lifesaver for working people. Socialist ideas outlined by the authors of Das Kapital, Karl Marx, and Frederick Skittles, or as you dum-dums like to call them, nerds.
Go to hell.
Go to hell, you stupid son of a bitch. Oh my gosh. I mean, man, it literally goes on television on CBS and praises the founders of communism. In a normal United States of America, he would be thrown off the air and never allowed to work again in show business.
Nowadays, it's street cred. Street cred.
Okay, we've talked about Marxism a lot on this podcast, but we're going to do it again. Because we have to. Okay, I'm going to say this clearly so everybody can understand me. Praising communism, praising Karl Marx is the same as going on TV and Zig Heiling, okay? It's the same. Communism is just as bad as Nazism. It's the same thing. In fact, the communist dictators have murdered a minimum of 150 million people. Hitler killed about 10 million. Okay, 15 times the amount of deaths between the fascists and the communists. Okay, this is just incredible. Stephen Gobert. Yeah, we're dumb dumbs if we don't support Karl Marx. Got it. Thanks.
Wow, you're just so smart. Just so smart, Stephen Colbert. You know, I liked him a lot more when he was playing a character. I liked
playing Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, that was way better. I thought he was great.
Yeah, that was a good character. It turns out his real personality really sucks. It's really dark, man. Really dark. Look, we're supposed to be afraid of neo-Nazis, right? Isn't that the thing? We're supposed to be like just deathly afraid of neo-Nazis. There's 100 of them in the country. They're these skinny 18-year-old white kids that have never gotten laid and they live in their mom's basement. Communists are running late night comedy shows on CBS. Okay, both ideologies are just as evil. It's just as evil, except one of them, rightly so. The Nazis are cast aside by society. They're thrown out. They're in the garbage bin of society where they belong. The communists aren't. They're just as evil. The philosophy, the ideology is just as evil, but they're praised. They're praised by Stephen Colbert. They're praised by Bernie Sanders. They're just as evil as the Nazis. Am I missing something? What the hell are we doing right now?
I don't know, Brady. I don't know. What's happening? What's happened? I don't know. Shit, dude. I don't know. I literally don't have anything to say.
Communism is just... Here, look, you know, like the... Let me just put it this way. You know, like the debate... I don't know if you ever heard people debate this. Like, if you could tell if somebody was... If a baby was going to grow up to be Hitler... If it would be like moral to go back in time and like kill the baby. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. If you could predict like a serial killer or something like that. How about this? How about this theoretical? I'm not saying that would be moral or immoral. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. But let me say this. If you decided that it was moral to like kill a child that would grow up to be Hitler and you had the choice to go back in time and kill baby Karl Marx or baby Hitler, like you'd have to kill Marx, right? Because his philosophy inspired Mao and Castro and Stalin and... These guys that killed over 100 million people when Hitler killed about 10 million. So you'd have to take out little baby Carl in that scenario.
Depends on you.
It's a weird way to put this, but right? Am I right about that?
Depends on what your view on history is. Like if you think of history as like a series of like with the great man philosophy on history, right? Like series of great people, or you think of it as the time and place. Like circumstances predict, or circumstances create the outcomes of the individuals. You could say that Karl Marx was just a product of the times and someone was bound to do it, you know, or you could, you know, so I don't know. But you know, I see what you're saying too. Yeah. I mean, Karl Marx Communist Manifesto is, I don't know, it's just a dumb little book. Like it's not criticizing capitalism. It's criticizing human nature. Like communism makes everything about society, but forgets about nature. And that's where it goes wrong. Nazism is like socialism, but it forgets about, and it just makes everything about natural processes. That's where it goes wrong. But they're
in both country, you know, it's national nationalism. Socialism, you know, blending nationalism and Marxism. And because, you know, like Hitler figured out, it was basically a critique on Marxism, right? Where like communism is international socialism. It's workers of the world unite kind of thing. Right. And then Hitler figured out, well, I can take over even quicker if I play off of not just socialism, but people's nationalism as well. So it's blending the two. But it's still socialism.
Right.
I mean, Hitler called himself a socialist. So, like, you can't even separate the fascist and the socialist in my mind. They're all kind of the same thing. But Stephen Colbert, we can move on.
Let's just move on.
We talk about communism every week.
Like, we have no journalistic integrity or anything like that, but the only thing we really care about
none.
is bashing communism. That's the only thing we really care about.
Yeah, stopping communism again. It's just alarming that we have to. We already beat the communists. They were gone. Like, what is wrong with you people? Like, you...
Okay,
crazy college professors that, you know, that make your students read the Communist Manifesto every year and shit. Like, what is
okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about this, but there's something that's being developed in China right now, the Communist People's Republic
China.
China. China. They are developing a system where they basically do what Google does and looks through all your online data. So all of your activity and, you know, where you've been, what you look at, what you say online, and it uses algorithms to quantify your social value or your social cooperation, basically. So how friendly you are to the state. And so they're going to be able to give every citizen in China a number, basically a score. It's kind of like a credit score, but it's like how friendly you are to the socialist state. And
a statist score.
Okay, so that's so communism just went from a certain danger level of being like, you know, the evil where people get you know, murdered and stuff like that because of a totalitarian government, and a really and then there's lots of poverty because of unsustainable economic systems. It goes from that level to holy shit, this is like a really scary movie scenario. If communism becomes to power in a day and age when it's all data systems and algorithms, when people can literally be scored based on how cooperative they are with society, how cooperative they are to their overlords, you know, in the name of society.
Yeah, I mean, if communism wasn't scary enough, communism in the 21st century is just terrifying.
Terrifying.
I mean, absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started reading an article about that earlier in the week, and I got scared, so I moved.
Yeah.
I bookmarked it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'll circle back to this, man. It's a little heavy.
I'll read this again on Halloween.
Yeah, seriously. Man, yeah, just terrifying. And we can move on. But one last thing on Stephen Colbert. If he spent half the time trying to be funny as he does praising evil ideologies, that'd probably do his show a lot of good.
Yeah.
Dear God. I mean, he's about as funny as the Holocaust, by the way. Like, he's not been funny in years and years, like you said, since he stopped playing a character. But this is just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Also, terrorism is disgusting. There's another terrorist attack last week on the 31st. In New York City, a radical Muslim immigrant from Uzbekistan who had pledged allegiance to ISIS and had an ISIS flag on his person and said, Allahu Akbar, before driving a truck into pedestrians, killing 8, wounding something like 20 or 21. This man was in the U.S. through the ridiculous leftist diversity lottery program. We'll get to that in a second. So immediately after this happened, leftists took to the internet and Democratic politicians took to the internet and to television and scolded the right, saying, you know, don't politicize this, don't make it about Muslims and stuff like that. They can go to hell, man. How long, in terms of seconds, or it might have been milliseconds, did it take the left after the Las Vegas shooting to make it about guns and how we need to ban guns and stuff like that? I mean, bodies were still fresh being counted, and they were talking about banning guns. So the whole don't politicize this, like how just the lack of self-awareness from the left was pretty shocking. I guess not shocking. Not even surprising.
Yeah, really.
But it happened. I don't know. Never mind. Not surprising, but it happened.
Yeah, I think as usual, there's always the attempt to minimize the terrorism aspect of it, or the Islamic terrorism aspect of it. But it's literally these guys now have, like, these ISIS terrorists have to, like, go out of their way to try extra hard to prove to people that they're actually ISIS terrorists. But this guy, he had a flag. He had to yell Allah Akbar a lot while he was driving down the road. He probably had to roll his window down. Like, he's like, I might get shot because I rolled down a window, but stick my head out the window, but at least they can hear me yelling. And he puts a note in his pocket. He's probably like thinking, man, that guy in Orlando, he tried everything he could to let people know he was an ISIS terrorist, and it didn't work. And they still,
it's like when you apply for a passport, you need to bring like 7 different forms of identification. I mean, he had Allahu Akbar, he had the flag, the note, the beard. I mean, he was really just checking off all the boxes, man. It's like, I get it. You're a Muslim terrorist. I get it. You hate the West and want to blow us up and drive trucks into us. I understand.
The saddest part about this, dude, is remember when we used to have terrorist attacks? When there was a terrorist attack, like, you stopped everything you were doing and you, like, turned the TV on and it was, like, instantly, like, you were shocked. That was, like, what happened. Like, that overshadowed everything that happened that entire day, right? You hear about a terrorist attack. It didn't even have to be local. Nowadays, you hear about a terrorist attack and you say, that's interesting. And you just keep on working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was out of the news cycle the next day, pretty much. I mean, they you know, the news talked about it for 24 hours or so, and then that was it. They were on to other things. And we've said a million times, I hate that we're all desensitized to this stuff. You know, I really hate it. It should be shocking, and it should be unifying for the country, right? Like, we should all rally behind the victims and stuff, but it's immediately, it becomes political, you know. Immediately it's like, don't blame Muslims, don't blame Muslims. Okay, so how about we track down the people that inspired this and kill them? Yeah, you know, like, why don't we, like, come on, yeah, I get it, hashtag not all Muslims. How about hashtag people are dead on the street because a radical Muslim killed them? Okay, yeah. Like, that happened. Let's not minimize that and over-politicize it. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the reason why this man was in the country. And I'm all about legal immigration. But he was here because of the diversity lottery program, which is basically like a nod to Muslim countries and African countries and people that, you know, don't have as many people applying for residency here. And they just have a random lottery to let people from these countries in.
Well, random that lottery
is really, so you're telling, really stupid.
So you're telling me the psychotic fifth generation rapist in Sudan has just as much chance of getting in as like a computer engineer who's like too smart for Harvard but can't afford to be there, like in India.
Yeah, you know, like we're keeping like the next Einstein out because we're letting Donk Donkerson, who wants to wage jihad against New York, in because it's a lottery system. It's not a meritocracy, which is just the most, that's ridiculous. We have a right in this country to decide who comes in. The people that come in need to share our values. They need to love Western culture and want to be a part of our Western culture, okay? They need to have a skill that we need and appreciate here. You know, they can't just come here and not work and not assimilate to our culture, and it's crazy. Like, and Trump came out and said, President Trump came out and said, we need to get rid of this diversity lottery program, bring it back to a merit-based system. Yeah, obviously, that's obviously the right call. That should be a bipartisan thing. Obviously, the left called him racist and called him Satan and whatever else, because that's what they do, because they're dumb. But obviously the president is right, 100% right about this. Get rid of the lottery. You don't decide who comes into your country based on a lottery. You let the best people in. And that is our right as Americans, to allow the best people in. We let 1 million people here legally a year. That's way more. That's twice as much as any other country. So it's not like we're not generous. We are. And I'm fine with that number. We shouldn't reduce it or anything. I'm fine with letting more immigrants in, as long as it's based on merit, not a lottery.
Right. Yeah. Imagine if you brought in 1 million of the smartest people in the world every year. I mean, we'd be unstoppable.
We'd kick some serious ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Our economy, exactly. our industry, our technology development would just be completely unstoppable.
But like, in what area of life or government or business or common sense does just a lottery
make sense? It makes no sense.
Like, When we were putting together our new album, we didn't just like write 20 songs and then just put a random number on it and then just pick out of a lottery to see what songs made the album. The best songs made the album. You idiots. Like, just ever, like, a lottery system doesn't make any sense in any area of adult life. Why is this program in place?
Yeah. Or you have 4 kids and you're like, we only have money to send one of you to college, so let's pick straws.
And it's just a dumb one.
And he's like, I just like
picking his nose and flinging it at people in class. And not the guy that could get into like pre-med, you know?
Nope. It's like, but mom, I've got straight A's. Shut up. Go to your room. Tommy, you know, he really loves picking his nose. He's going to change the world with that.
But mom, Tommy can't even tie his shoes. Nope, Tommy's going to school.
Don't be a racist. Yourself,
the rest of the kids. I know. So, and also, like, you know, with leftists calling to, like, ban guns or, you know, ban assault weapons or something like that. Like, we talked about the bump stocks, and we don't really have a position on whether or not bump stocks should be legal. It wouldn't be the end of the world if they were made illegal, right? But, right. Like, so their call was immediately ban bump stocks.
Right.
That would not have had any effect on the Vegas shooting, because there's, like, 20 different super cheap ways to turn a semi-auto into a fully automatic rifle.
Yeah.
A bump stock is one of them. One out of a dozen that you can do for under $50, right? So the guy would have just done it another way. This program, if it didn't exist, this terrorist would not have been here. He would not have gotten in based on merit. So if this program was not around, that is a tangible thing that would help keep terrorists out. It's tangible. It makes sense. I'm all about things that make sense. Things that can be effective. Getting rid of this program would be effective in keeping the bad guys out and letting more of the good guys in, which is what we want.
Right.
We are a nation of immigrants, and that's great. I'm all about that. Let's let more of the good guys in, man.
Right.
Like, there's lots of, like, dude, and I know, like, I went to a doctor who was a Muslim for a while. Great doctor. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of great Muslims that want to come in here and go to med school and stuff, man. There's a lot of great people from that region that we should be letting in. Not asshole ISIS beard who wants to drive his truck into people, okay? That guy had no place in this country.
Yeah.
Hopefully the government does the right thing and gets rid of the stupid lottery.
Yeah, well, the lottery makes no sense. No sense.
So we were going to talk, you know what? We were going to talk about the DNC stuff. Do you want to wait until next week to do that where we can actually dedicate more time to it? Or do you want to touch on it briefly?
Well, do you want to play the clip or no?
All right, we might as well.
Might as well.
Well, we'll shorten the last few things. Might as well. All right, we'll do it. It's a big... Yeah, we got to do it. Sorry, guys. We're working things out live.
We'll do it live.
Yeah, all right. We have to talk about it. We'll play the clip. Donna Brazile, former head of the DNC, went bad on her fellow Democrats this week. We all knew that the DNC was corrupt and that Hillary Clinton had, you know, rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders and stuff. Donna Brazile came out and confirmed that and really slung a lot of mud at her colleagues in the DNC, basically saying some fascinating details, actually, that President Obama had basically run the DNC into the ground. He had bankrupted the party. And Hillary Clinton, before even officially announcing she was running for president, comes in, takes over the finances of the DNC. So she absorbed all that debt and was basically paying the DNC's bills. So the DNC had to nominate her financially, which I'm sure is super illegal, at least very immoral. But let's play a little bit of what Donna Brazile, she's hawking a book now, too. So she's, you know, doing the circuit and talking some shit. So we'll play a clip of her on, I always mispronounce the guy's name. I want to say Snuffleupagus, but that's not his name.
Close enough.
Stephanopoulos. Is that the CNN guy? Anyway, Donna Brazile and old Snuffleupagus.
Brazile claims the DNC gave Hillary Clinton an unfair edge over Bernie Sanders. And reveals she considered replacing Clinton as the nominee after Clinton fainted at a 9/11 ceremony. The ticket I liked was Joe Biden and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. I felt certain that that combination would win the general election. And Donna Brazile, who has also been a longtime ABC contributor, joins us now. Welcome back, Donna.
Thank you, Joy.
Let's get some facts on the table first. As DNC chair, you didn't have the power on your own to replace Hillary on the ticket.
No, but as you well know, the charter of the DNC, as well as the convention rules, say that the chairperson shall, in consultation with the leadership in Congress and others. And so I had to put it on the table, George, because I was under tremendous pressure after Secretary Clinton fainted to have a quote-unquote plan B. I didn't want a plan B. Plan A was great for me. I supported Hillary, and I wanted her to win.
What a great
candidate. But we were under pressure.
So how serious was this? You're right that you got a call from Vice President Biden at the time. Did you mention this to the Vice President?
No, I did not. I mean, look, everybody was calling to see, do you know anything? How is she doing? And of course, my job at the time, George, was to reassure people, not just the vice president, but also reassure the Democratic Party, the members of the party, that Hillary was doing fine and that she will resume her campaign in the following
week. All right. That's enough down to Brazil.
She's got kind of a cool accent.
That's southern, like Louisiana kind of thing.
I don't know what it is. It's very interesting. No, I'm a connoisseur of accents, but I can't do any of them, especially anyway, not Donald Trump.
Donna Brazile, like Donna Brazile trying to come out as like the white knight and expose Hillary Clinton and stuff like that is pretty dubious too. Donna Brazile, when she was working for CNN, did leak debate questions to Hillary Clinton for a debate between her and Bernie Sanders. So, I mean, she's part of this corruption. Donna Brazile's been in politics for like four decades too. Like she's just... You know, Trump calls it the swamp. I mean, this woman is as swamp as it gets. And so she's just trying to position herself on the right side of history here, since Clinton is so unpopular and, you know, hawking this book and stuff like that. But, I mean, she's no saint. I mean, Donna Brazile is a part of the problem. But that was interesting that, you know, people in the DNC were trying to, you know, come up with a plan B, like, if Hillary Clinton keeps passing out in public, they might have to replace her. Well, damn, man, if you put it that way, maybe she wasn't the best candidate. She can't even stay on her own two feet. This is ridiculous.
It's hard to like, what, do you want to give her money back? Here, I know you bought the DNC, but you want to just take your money? You want a refund?
Just interesting what Donna Brazile was saying, like, as the, you know, chairman of the DNC, she couldn't authorize paying anybody because it all went through the Clinton campaign, which is not how it's supposed to work. The campaign and the party is supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to work hand in hand, but be completely separate entities. And that's probably why, I mean, you have to remember that, you know, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton ran against each other. They do not like each other. The Obamas and the Clintons are not friends. Like, they don't get along very well. That's been leaked all over the place. That's well known. And you know that Obama would have loved to endorse his friend, Joe Biden.
Right.
You know, and encourage Joe Biden to run. But he couldn't because the Clintons took over the DNC's debt and had bought the nomination. So he couldn't endorse. President Obama couldn't endorse Biden. Couldn't push him to run because it would have bankrupted the party. Man.
Bum, bum, bum.
And plot thickens.
Democrats. Old Democrats.
Way to get money out of politics.
Way to get money out of politics, Democrats. Holy cow. I mean, we knew that they were corrupt and we knew the corruption going on in the DNC, but just watching it just laid bare like this is just pretty funny. Yeah. I don't know.
And yet this
it's not really important at this point, but
this is the, yeah, we're the only country that when we, like, there's just certain, there's like certain levels of corruption. Like, for some reason, certain types of corruption are legal. So it's like, oh, that's just normal DNCs. That's just normal Democrat stuff. Or that's just normal politics stuff. It's like, isn't this like the kind of stuff that gets people strung up in other countries? But no, that's
just
normal. I mean, just
or a normal citizen. Like, I feel like one of us would be in jail if we pull any of this stuff. Let's talk about somebody who should be in jail.
Yeah, let's do that.
Speaking of who deserves jail time, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the traitor who abandoned his post in Afghanistan and then kind of wandered around and hung out with the Taliban for several months. And then we all remember President Obama traded five high-value al-Qaeda terrorists for him several years back. Bergdahl had also come out and said that the Taliban treated him much better than the U.S. Army. So take that for what it's worth. This is not somebody who served his country honorably, obviously. Desertion is a serious crime. A judge decided this week that Bo Bergdahl can go free with no jail time.
What?
How? How does that make any sense, Josiah? Help me out.
I don't know. Why? Shouldn't this be a court-martial thing? Is that what this is?
Yeah. They reduced his rank from sergeant to private, and they fined him some pay that he was getting as a sergeant down to, like, the pay of a private for months or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, does this guy...
That's what they did to him.
Does this guy know about aliens or something? Like, what's going on? Why is this... First of
all... He didn't even have to cut his dick and balls off. The last traitor, the Chelsea Manning, had to... claimed to be a woman and castrate himself. And Bo Bergdahl got off scot-free, dick and balls intact, which I guess is a little bit impressive, right?
I don't know. Like, is there something going on that we don't know about? Like, why is this person getting such special treatment?
I don't know.
First off, like, even the trade was kind of weird, right? Because we're talking about a guy
who abandoned
his post. I mean, you abandoned your post. You kind of abandoned your all rights at that point.
Yeah, I mean... You know, desertion has to be a serious crime, right? Or, like, what precedent are we setting? If you know what I mean?
Right.
My God. And also, I mean, look, the most tragic part of this whole thing is six soldiers died looking for Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah.
Six people from his unit died, okay? Staff Sergeant Clayton Bowen, 29 years old, of San Antonio, Texas. Private First Class Matthew Martinick, 20 years old, of DeKalb, Illinois. Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy, 25, of Snyder, Texas. Second Lieutenant Darren Andrews, 34, of Dallas, Texas. Staff Sergeant Kurt Curtis, 27, of Murray, Utah. Private First Class Morris Walker, 23, of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. All six of these gentlemen died looking for Bo Bergdahl. I mean, where's the justice for them?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd all be alive right now.
He's going to sit there and say the Taliban treats him better.
Yeah.
I don't think they were sending out... I don't think they would have died for him.
Ugh. And some people on the left tried to, you know, agree with what happened. This should be completely bipartisan, right? I mean, this should be, everyone should be outraged at this. And credit where it's due, some Democrats and some people on the left have criticized this ridiculous ruling by this judge. Tulsi Gabbard, the very hard left congresswoman from Hawaii, Bernie Sanders supporter, said, quote, "Letting Bo Bergdahl walk free dishonors the sacrifice of soldiers who were killed and injured while searching for him and their families." Yeah, common sense. This should be the consensus of everyone, right? I don't see any justification for this ruling.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, let's move on. We talked a little bit about this over the last couple weeks, but it just keeps, you know, I don't really want to get into the Hollywood stuff too much. It's not that interesting to me, but I guess we have to touch on it. Apparently, Hollywood is just this weird place where rich people just rape each other. It seems like a serious problem, Josiah.
I think that's actually on the brochure.
Yeah.
You can Welcome hire to Hollywood.
Tour guide to, you can hire tour guides to go watch like child molestation and shit. It's pretty messed up. Yeah, most notably this week, obviously, Kevin Spacey was accused by a man who I believe is a Broadway actor who now is an adult, but alleges that Kevin Spacey groped him and molested him when he was a 14-year-old boy. So, yeah, that's pedophilia. Can't do that, Kevin Spacey. It's not good. And then he comes out with he handled it the worst way you can handle this. Like his statement, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, you know, if I behaved inappropriately, I was probably drunk. Sorry about that. Also, I'm gay. It's like, one, everybody knew Kevin Spacey was gay. Two, just because you're gay doesn't mean you can rape kids. Sorry, man. But that's, and, you know, to their credit, the gay community was like, bro, no. Yeah. you're not, there's no gay out of jail free card here. Yeah. Sorry. You don't get to gay out of jail for free. Sorry, bro. You're a pedophile. Yeah. Obviously, his show on Netflix, House of Cards, got canceled, which is good because show had really taken a downward turn lately. So probably should have been canceled for that reason. But yeah, good old Kevin Spacey. What the hell's going on in Hollywood, man?
Hell if I know.
All right, good talk, Joe. Let's...
You got a lot to say about that.
Let's move on.
Let's
move on
wordy.
Briefly to one last topic before we wrap up. Last night or Saturday night, whenever you guys are listening to this, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky was assaulted at his home in Bowling Green, Kentucky. The media declined to comment on whether or not this assault was politically motivated. Narrator, it was politically motivated.
It was politically motivated.
Obviously, we don't know that for sure, but the guy that attacked him was a registered Democrat. Obviously, Senator Paul is one of the most conservative or small government elected officials we have. The senator's fine, by the way. His press release just said he sustained minor wounds, so he'll be all right. But I don't, you know, one thing I thought of, I don't know if we've mentioned this on the podcast before. I mean, you look at the shooting in D.C. at the Republican baseball practice a couple months ago. Obviously, this attack on Rand Paul when he's literally at his house in Kentucky. Is it time that we put a bodyguard on all members of Congress, you know, and the Supreme Court and the cabinet? And I'm usually against the government spending money on anything. You know, I'm a small government guy, but man, the media has just ramped people up into a frenzy. I mean, you get people like Jimmy Kimmel saying, if you vote to repeal Obamacare, you want to like kill black children or something like that. You know, I mean, and if you have people in the media just whipping people up into a frenzy, if some of these people that have a screw loose are going to start trying to kill politicians, is it time to put an armed guard on members of Congress?
I mean, I don't think it'd be a terrible idea, but if it was me, I'd probably do a little bit more measured approach. I'd probably pass a bill saying senators and congressmen and women can open carry in every state and give them all training. And then just tell them to have their own security details. I mean, there's nothing stopping them, right, from having a security detail, like private security.
Not really that money. You know, some of these guys are rich. Some of them aren't.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously they should be able to carry across straight lines. You know, at least the Republicans would be safe that way.
Yeah.
I don't know about our friends, the Democrats. They think guns are icky. Yeah. So I don't think they would carry one even for their own protection. But, you know, that would be a start, I suppose. Obviously, we'll see when the details come out about this guy that attacked Rand Paul. You know, I would venture to guess, you know, he was attacked because of who he is and his political opinions. It wasn't just a random donk on the street attacking a senator at his home.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't know, man. Scary stuff. We're living in a weird world, very polarized. I don't know. This is just another thing on the long list of insane things happening in the political sphere right now in 2017.
Yeah. Got anything non-political?
We always do. We like to wrap the show up with something non-political, something positive. I'm actually finding mine right now, Joe, if you want to go first.
Okay. Well, I finally started watching that show Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yeah.
I watched the first three episodes. That show is really good. I mean, everyone says it was
surprisingly good.
It's really good. It's like if you have guys haven't watched it yet, it's like, was it said like in the 80s, right? Like in a little town in America. And it's got like that retro feel, kind of like that movie Super 8 did a little bit. But then it's got like a synth, like the movie soundtrack has like, has a lot of classic rock songs in it from that era, but also it has like this like synth arpeggiated soft synth lead thing that goes over, kind of like the Mass Effect soundtrack, if you ever heard that, or those kind of I don't know, maybe Tron did it too.
Throwback.
It's kind of a throwback thing, but it was really, I really dig that stuff. I love like arpeggiated synth leads, like the kind of like airy, creepy kind of stuff. It's a pretty creepy show, but not like in a, not like in a, it's not like intentionally a scary movie. It's like, it's a good movie that happens to be kind of scary. Cause it like, the only reason it's scary is because it like makes you, the storyline's good and it makes you buy the characters. So you're actually a little bit invested in what's going on. So things have more like emotional impact on you or whatever. So I thought it was pretty cool about it.
Well, and the acting's pretty good, which is shocking because half the actors are kids. And usually like child them, actors just ruin whatever show they're in.
Yeah.
Like they walk out, they say one line, and then boom, the show's over for me. I'm like, okay, now it's unwatchable.
Like, yeah.
Thanks, kids.
Like, like that one kid almost ruined the entire Star Wars franchise. He played, you know?
One little kid almost brought down a $100 billion franchise. Just single-handedly almost ruined Star Wars.
Yeah, that kid. Oh, my gosh.
But these kids can act, man, on Stranger Things. Like, they're not bad. It's shocking. No,
yeah, they're good. It's a pretty good show. I'm pretty into it.
My thing is also Stranger Things related, kind of. I just saw my favorite tweet ever. Actually, I think part is Sayla retweeted this. I think that's why I saw it. But, okay, so we all remember the terrible, horrible Fast and the Furious movies. Actually, no, I think I only saw the first one. I don't think I watched the previous, you know, 10 or whatever, however many they came out with. They're probably still coming out with them, for all I know. I don't know. But anyway, they had very, very terrible, terrible titles. Like Too Fast, Too Furious, you know, like all this stuff. And I guess I never noticed how bad those movie titles were until you, if you replace the words Fast and Furious with any other two words, it just lays bare how terrible those titles were. So this guy in my new favorite tweet replaced the words Fast and Furious with the words Stranger and Things. So this would be the 7-part Stranger Things movie title series as if it were Fast and the Furious. Stranger Things, Stranger Things 2, Strangers and Things, Two Strange, Four Things, Five Things, The Strange and the Things, Tokyo Drift, and Strangest Seven. It's like, now that you mention it, those are some pretty stupid titles. If you put it that way, Josiah. Man, I really hope they're not still making Fast and the Furious.
I know, man. Damn, those movies were just getting really bad. I can't handle that stuff. Like, they should just call it Fast and Furious. Our cars have 37 gears. If you watch the show, those movies, they just always show the cars like shifting up. They're like always going faster than they were in the last scene. So like shows cut scene inside the car. 2 seconds later, cut scene in the car. This cutscene, they're always shifting.
It's not a semi truck that has 18 gears or whatever. It's a freaking souped up Honda Civic. Relax. Oh my gosh. So next week, I don't want to say the name yet because we don't have the exact time booked, but we do have a great guest, I believe, coming on next week. Somebody who's way smarter than us. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see if we can even contribute to next week's podcast. I don't know. We'll see. But thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast this week. Please follow us on Twitter at NoGimmicksPod. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we're on SoundCloud and Google Play as well. Please leave us a 5-star rating and a good review. Tweet at us if we got something wrong or right. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week, you crazy animals. No gimmicks.
No gimmicks.